Good morning. 36 past the hour. It's the Faith Radio Network. How badly was Donald Trump hurt by those vulgar comments he made in the leaked hot mic recording? And does the Republican Party have any other real options 1 month away from the presidential election? Joining us with some analysis on this and to recap last night's presidential debate, Dr. Adam Carrington, political science professor at Hillsdale College. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good. It's been an interesting weekend. You talk about an October surprise. The hot mic video is probably one of the ugliest surprises we've ever witnessed in a presidential campaign. You think Trump can recover from this mess?
That is a great question. And one of the problems is that if this got dropped on October 7th, what else is out there, if anything? The rumor is there's a lot more. I would say that it is possible he can recover from this, but I think it's going to be very, very, very difficult. He was already doing pretty badly among women. He was already, we have to understand or remember that he was already slipping in the polls from the first debate and the aftermath of it. So, you know, I know we'll talk about the debate. I think that might have slowed down the bleeding, but this looks very bad and doesn't portend well for what's coming in the future. So I guess you can never say never in 2016, but this is pretty bad.
Now, over the weekend, other remarks that Trump has made about women came out from the Howard Stern show, and this is, you know, over the years, and they really simply confirm what we heard on the Access Hollywood tape. I mentioned this earlier this morning. The big question is, you know, given what we've known about Trump's character all along, why are Americans acting so shocked and surprised?
Well, I've thought about that too, because, you know, I've talked to women I know in particular, and, you know, there are a number who this sort of confirm things they already thought about him, and some that, you know, depending either way as far as whether they're supporting or not. But I think what it is it's one thing to sort of perceive this might be the case or get a feeling it might be the case, but then to have it shoved in your face, to actually hear the actual words said, see the actual way it was said, watch him walk out of the bus and very creepily ask for a hug after he's just been talking about women that way. People can set those things aside till they're really it's really shoved in their face. And I think that's why you do see some Americans sort of acting surprised by this.
Creepily was a good word, Adam. It was very creepy. It was also kind of creepy, this press conference that he held like an hour before the debate, where he brought Bill Clinton's accusers in. Can you help me explain that?
Well, honestly, the campaign is a little desperate. I think, you know, they're very much, you know, they were hemorrhaging endorsements. A lot of people were declaring the campaign completely dead, and I think they went back to their sort of what they thought would be the best counter. And, you know, it's not so much, I think the problem is it's not so much that there isn't a story there, it's that it was litigated one other time in American history in the 90s, and there's plenty of video of Trump defending Hillary Clinton as being the victim of all this back in the 90s, and defending Bill Clinton as calling Paula Jones, who I don't know why she agreed to be on stage with him, calling her a loser back in the 90s. So I think it was a bit desperate, even though, to be honest, I don't think the charge is far-fetched. But I think the messenger, given the context, I just don't know how much it helps beyond his base.
Well, and it just also seemed like a weird, kind of a weird tit for tat thing. I just didn't really understand it. Now, some key Republicans have pulled their support from Trump. I'm assuming that doesn't really matter to diehard Trump supporters, but could it impact him with more traditional Republicans and independents?
The ones that have not been on board with him or have been tepidly on board with him because of the problem, the very real problems they have with Hillary Clinton, it could. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, to get very technical, you know, northern suburbs of Columbus, Ohio, a state he really has to win, are very Kasich, John Kasich-like Republicans. And I think he was still doing all right with them. And the question is this something that will just make them stay home? Not vote for Hillary, but stay home. And you're right. It did not severely hurt him with his own group, the people that are voting for him, no matter what. But that's enough to sink. It's not enough to have a majority. But I think the bigger worry here is if he and the Republican Party continue to be at odds, this could put what seemed to be a safe House and a very narrowly divided Senate all into play again.
You know, that is one of my big concerns. You talk about people staying home. How many, just looking at, you know, your traditional Republicans and your conservative voters, how many of them do you think would just, you know, stay home versus saying, okay, I'm not going to vote for Trump, but I am going to vote down ticket for these Republican senators and House members?
I think it could happen two ways. I think the two problems is, one, you could have that where, you know, the presidency really drives voters to the polls, and you can see that based on turnouts between midterms, where the presidency is not on the ballot, and presidential elections. There's no contest. More people come out to vote because of the top of the ticket, and then also then go ahead and fill out the ballot below. So that will drive it down. The other problem is many of Trump's supporters, and I think they have some reason to this, say, well, you knew Trump was like this before. Why are you turning on him now? And they see it as weakness. They see it as being traitors. They see it as everything that they've despised about the Republican Party. And especially, I think, if it looks like Trump isn't going to win, I mean, if it really becomes apparent, and I don't know if we're clear on that yet, then you could see a lot of his voters coming to vote for Trump and then refusing to vote for any other Republicans.
Mm.
And if both those things happen, it'll be disastrous for the Republican Party. And if Trump and Trump voters do that, it will seriously question the argument of you need to vote for Trump to defend the Senate majority for a Supreme Court nominee. So it's a mess. The Republican Party was already in trouble. It is a mess at this point from whatever happens.
Our guest is Dr. Adam Carrington, political science professor at Hillsdale College. We'll dive more into that and the debate last night and the performance of Mr. Trump and Mrs. Clinton. Stick with us here on Faith Radio. Welcome back. 47 past the hour. Good morning. Welcome to a brand new work week. I'm Bill Meyer as we kick off a Monday together. So great to have you along with us. My guest, Dr. Adam Carrington, political science professor at Hillsdale College, as we're deconstructing what happened over the weekend with the hot mic leaked tape from Access Hollywood and Mr. Trump's vulgar comments and supposedly more to come out. Adam, does the Republican Party have any real options at this point? It seems pretty clear Trump is not going to withdraw from the race. Is the party just going to have to ride this out, or is there some kind of, you know, nuclear option that could be considered?
Well, a lot of people have been talking about what's called Rule 9 for the Republican National Committee, you know, their set of rules. And Rule 9 says, what do you do if a candidate needs to be replaced at the presidential level? Now, the problem is this has never been used before, and the language, some people are reading the language to say that the Republican National Committee could come in and forcibly remove him, both for political reasons and for the fact, at least the way I read it, it seems more that the only option is if the candidate were to pass away or to resign, that's really the only, I think, realistic option for how this rule could be invoked. So I think, yeah, unless he decides to resign or something happens to him, you know, which of course none of us want at all, you know, I think they are stuck with him. And if they were to replace him, the fact that we already have early voting, the fact that we already have absentee ballots means that, you know, any candidate that would be replacing him would be losing votes by the day, and it would be a real mess to figure out what you would do with those votes that have already been cast. So I guess, you know, my short answer is I don't think realistically there's much that can be done, even if technically there might be some things people could try to do.
Okay, let's dive into the debate last night. I have to admit, I just watched a tiny bit of it and then read some of the recap, but it wasn't something that I committed to a couple of hours of my life to. First of all, did Trump come across as truly contrite and repentant for his vulgar comments?
A lot of people were saying he did okay on that. Although I think you're going to see a massive gender gap on this, with him saying that it was merely locker room talk. And I think that men will be probably more evenly split on that. I think women will tend to say, well, my man better not be talking like that in the locker room, right? and the big question on that is going to be, Anderson Cooper really pinned him down on, not was this just vulgar talk. I mean, a lot of people have said vulgar things behind closed doors that they would regret if it came out. But he was bragging about things he does. He says, I do these things. And I do them because I'm famous, I do them because I'm rich, I do them because I'm powerful, and I can force that power on other people. And Trump denied that he had actually ever done anything like that it was all just bragging. And he denied it clearly after, but he was really reticent to do it. And so the question is, are there people waiting in the wings, or stories waiting in the wings to challenge this? But yes, I think he did all right on it, but I think how that story is remembered will depend upon whether there are stories that discredit him saying that he was just talking and not recounting things he's done.
Yeah, and who knows what will come out in the coming weeks. What about the rest of the debate? How would you compare Trump's performance last night to his performance in the first presidential debate?
Well, I've been ripping on Trump most of this, and I think he deserves it. I think it was revolting what he said, and it revolting if that's how he is, which it seems to be that's how he is. But other than that, I actually think he otherwise, beyond the first 20 minutes, which he did okay in, I think he actually won the debate. And now there's been mixed reviews on that. I don't think he blew her out of the water, Hillary Clinton, but you know, I thought he prosecuted his case much better than he did before. He did not let her get him off track, you know, defending himself on meaningless things about, minutia. Instead, he prosecuted her on the emails, wanting to prosecute her, on foreign affairs. And I think that actually he was much more effective than before. And, you know, if I was scoring the debate like a boxing match, I'd give it to him on points.
Do you think there was a lot more, did you get the sense there was a lot more preparation on his part? Do you think there was some Chris Christie help there, or do we even know?
Well, he certainly came across as much more prepared. Now, the people inside the campaign claimed they had prepared him last time, but that he didn't stick to the plan. So at least I'll say this. It was obvious that he stuck to a plan, and I think, like I said, prosecuted it very well. When she tried to come back and say, let's be thankful he's not over the laws of the land, and he interjects, because you'd be in jail, you know, we'll see how that plays to the broader audience, but I know that that really cheered and buoyed his core support that was certainly, you know, wavering, or at least despondent about what had been going on up to that point.
Did it seem like he had talking points memorized where he didn't in the first debate? He was just kind of wandering?
seemed to be, and I have no doubt he was given talking points before the first debate, but he was willing to stick with them, and he was willing to put them out there and to prosecute them effectively. So yeah, I think he landed a number of good punches. I think Clinton was intentionally playing defense because she didn't want to. I think she wanted to just ride this out, given how good of a 2 weeks she'd had. But no, I know I've been hard on Trump the rest of the segment, but I definitely think he came out better in the debate than she did. I think he did a better job.
Do you think there were some places where she missed opportunities or where she blew it last night?
Oh, absolutely. One I can think classic is she offered him to let him speak first because he wanted to talk about something, and he said, no, go first, I'm a gentleman. And she just lets that pass, given the videos, given, you know, how she'd been prosecuting the case in that way. I thought she fumbled some of her defenses of certain the attacks on her, which she had to know were coming, but still seemed pretty wooden and unable to you know, punch back effectively on some of those concerns. So, yeah, I mean, I thought she had a mediocre to bad debate, and he had a pretty solid one.
Well, and of course, the expectations for him were pretty low. What did you think about his accusations that the moderators were really ganging up on him?